Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that woke me up too. So my name is Frank O'Neill, and I'm one of the pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and I'm glad to be here this morning to share from God's Word with you. We have been on this series. Today is the last session on this series about fake news, and pretty much been looking at fake presentations of the gospel or watered down gospels. And this morning, we're going to talk about the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wanted to start by reminding us from what Paul said, because it's so important for us to understand the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's so powerful, it's so wonderful, which is why there are the enemy of our souls is constantly battling to water it down or hide the fullness of it from God's people, because he doesn't want us to experience the fullness of God's gospel, of God's good news. So Romans, the first chapter, the 16th verse, Paul says it like this: I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and then to the Gentiles. First to the Jew, and then to the Gentiles. A lot of us fall into the second category. But he said the gospel is the power. The word power means dunamis, dynamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from. So the gospel is supposed to be experienced. There should be a power that is experienced by believers in the gospel. You all follow that? How many say amen? It's supposed to have power in us and for us. And we're going to look today at the power of the gospel, at two sides of it, because sometimes only one side is emphasized and the other is not. We know the gospel talks about power for forgiveness, but the gospel also talks about power for transformation, power to change us. The Bible, many have taught the Bible that sin is such a power, and so God comes with the gospel. He delivers us from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. And we're going to talk today about that transformation so that we can experience it. How many say amen?
Amen.
Can we pray right now? God, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for all that is contained in the gospel. And Father, this morning, I pray that you would open our eyes. Like Paul said, that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, so we might know. We can't know unless you show us, God. We can't hear unless you open our ears. We can't see unless you open our eyes. So would you do that this morning for us? Open ears, open eyes, and open mouths. We can't speak unless you give us words and a voice. So God, give me freedom of speech here. God, you said where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So God, we come, we sit at your feet. Our eyes are on you, God, this morning. You know all of us. You know what we need. You know where we are. And you know exactly what we need to hear today to bring us where you want us to be, Lord. So we submit ourselves to you, Father. We ask for the teaching of your Holy Spirit to be here. And we ask all of it in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So there is a transformation that we recognize around us when we look at before and after pictures. How many have ever seen before and after pictures? I brought some here this morning we could look at. And often, the transformation that happens, we see some, in fact, sometimes we look at things today, we have no idea what they were like before. And when we look at them before, we would never imagine they could be this, they could experience that kind of a transformation. So before and after pictures are helpful for us to look at. So I brought some before and after pictures. I'm going to show you some before pictures, and let me see if you can guess what this is before of. So put up the first slide over here, if we could. Okay, this is a before picture. Anyone know, anyone want to guess where this is?
Dubai.
What is it? Dubai. Dubai. Imagine, Dubai. Can we see the after picture? Hello. Would you say that's a transformation? If you looked at the picture of Dubai today, you would never imagine that it looked like that. Not that long ago. This was a very quick transformation that happened in a matter of short years. But if you looked at it before, you would say, this thing is, there's no way anything could happen in this territory. Here's another picture before. Let's see this one. Okay. Anyone know? Where's this? Before. Come on, don't be afraid. You will not get any demerits if you're wrong. The only wrong answer is the one that you didn't mention. Come on, take a guess. Africa? Who said Africa? Africa? What? New York City. New York City? Anybody else? New Jersey? New York City. What a joke. Let's look at the next picture. What is it? Before and after. Look at it. New York City. Give the man a lollipop or something there. Yeah, come on. New York City. Could you imagine? You look at before and said, there's no way. That's not New York. That's, yeah. New York City. Transformation. In the next picture, too, a better picture of New York. Yeah, that's New York, Manhattan, New York City. Okay, next one before. Who is that guy? All right, be nice now, be nice. Who? It's not Elvis Presley, no. Who is it? Oh my gosh, what a cacophony of words. Raise your hand. Yes. Tom Cruise. How many agree? Oh my gosh, you guys watch too much TV. Next picture. Hello. Tom Cruise. Everybody gets surprised for that one. Mission Impossible. Huh? And then the final picture we'll look at for this little session here, before and after. There has been, you would think, no way, no way, God. There's been such a tremendous influx of people coming out of the Muslim faith to Jesus Christ and being transformed, with their lives being in danger, knowing that if I do this, this could cost me my life. Coming to Jesus. The gospel is the power of God that saves us and brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. It is forgiveness, but it's also power for transformation. Our text is from Ephesians, the second chapter. And it tells us about our before and after. Every person here, there should be a before and then there's an after. If you know Jesus, every believer in Jesus Christ has a before and an after. And Paul describes it here in Ephesians, the second chapter. And he says these words. As for you, you were. You have to underline the tense of the words here. You were. Past tense. Dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live. Underline. To live. When you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived, past tense. He didn't say we live, we lived, past tense, among them at one time, and this describes the way we were, the before, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. That we did whatever we felt like doing. If it felt good, we did it. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich, rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Important to mark that there, because he's making a point. we were to the Ephesians and all the hearers, we were dead in our transgressions and sins, and God saved us in that state. We were dead. We weren't doing anything that warranted or deserved. What warranted salvation is how bad we were and how everyone was. Did nothing to earn, deserve salvation. He says, it is by grace you have been saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That's how much he loved us. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's, here's the after, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If you are a believer in Christ, this is where we were, you before, and your after is this new place that we're in. We are now God's handiwork. He's the potter, and we're the clay. We are, Paul, in Paul's words, we are a new creation. A new beginning has happened for everyone who comes to Christ. We sense it when we receive the forgiveness. Something happened. Something is changed inside of me. When you come to Christ, one of the first identifications that this really happened, you really put your faith in him, is the removal of a sense of guilt for past sins. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, how many, let me see your hand. You know what I'm talking about, right? You can sense it. But there's more. There's more. Because not only did he forgive us for our past sins, but now he says, now you are and we are God's handiwork. He's moving. He's doing things. He's shaping. He's forming. And he created us in Christ Jesus. We are a new creation. The old creation, Paul talks in his teaching, we were in Adam. We kind of traced our generations from Adam. And in him, guess what? We inherited sin and fallenness. But now he says, we're not a new beginning. No longer Adam. Jesus Christ. This is where we trace our beginning from. It's from Jesus now. We are in him. In him we're made alive. In him we are a new creation. So, new creatures in Christ and not in Adam. The power of God is not only to forgive us for our sins, but also to transform us. Grace to transform. The gospel says in this context, because I was dead in my sins, I can't save myself. Dead people cannot save themselves. But I can be saved. I can't save myself, but I can be saved by believing in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you have not experienced that, and I'm glad you're here to hear that God loves you. God loves you while we were dead in our sins. God loved us, and he sent his son into this world to die for us, not because we were acting good, not because we were, you know, trying to do the right thing. No, we were indulging everything that was wrong. But God, like my children, I have two daughters. How many have children here? How many love your children? How many would do anything for your children? And if your children were in trouble, you would help them. You have bent heaven over to get to your children to help them because you love them. You want the best for them. How many like me, sometimes your children do dumb things. And you want to, come on. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be happy. I want you to be joyful. I want you to experience life. I've learned some things. Look at my scars over here. Don't do the same dumb things that I did. And you want to help them because you love them. And you realize they don't get it. They don't understand what you understand. They're ignorant. We too were ignorant. We were ignorant. And God looked at us and said, and we were dead and we were just, indulging everything. But in the middle of all that, God said, but I love you.
I made you. I want you with me. And you can't help yourself right now because you're just dead. But I'm going to do something. I'm going to put a plan in place that's going to change that. I'm going to do something to take care of all that junk that you've been doing and get forgiveness for it. But I'm going to give you also something else, which we'll talk about in a minute. I can't save myself, but I can be saved. I can't change myself, but I can be changed. God didn't call us to change ourselves. He said, I'll change you. I will change you. I'll make you a new creature. He doesn't come and say, make me some promises that you're going to change. I can't change myself, but I know somebody who can change me. Yeah, one more slide I want to show you about what I call a fake gospel. Let's put that zombie boy up there, you know, or tattoo. There you go. Before and after. Ooh, anybody ever see this guy before? Even in a movie somewhere, right? Before and after. See the one with the tattoos? Would you say which one is before and after? The tattoos is before and after. Before or after the tattoos? The tattoos are before or after? The tattoos are before, and then the clean look is after? Can you remove tattoos? Really? I mean, do you think they can do it like that? But you're right. The tattoos is before. This is after. You know what that is, though? Did they remove the tattoos? Took professional makeup artists hours to cover all those tattoos. You can't remove those. Those were over his whole body, this guy's. You can YouTube him, Zombie Boy, they call him. Took hours to cover up those tattoos. God is not a makeup artist. Amen? God is not a makeup artist. And sometimes we try, and this is what I call the fake gospel that's permanent. That's, I hear it sometimes. I hear, and I probably at some ways even almost embraced it somehow, that we change ourselves, that we put on makeup. We try to cover up our stuff by maybe acting a little different. I'm going to act different. I'm going to do good works. I'm going to go to church on Sunday. I do all these things. I think this is transformation. But and we work hard at looking good. We work hard at making ourselves look good on the outside. But we know. We know. Now, Michael, we know. We know what's in here. We know what we're really like. We know it's makeup. Makeup looks good. Looks good. You can fool a lot of people with makeup. Until it rains. How many know the rain is coming? Man, look at, dude, wow. It's a mess over there, yeah. The rain comes and people start seeing what we're, you know, the trials come, you get pushed, you get squeezed. And then that's a false gospel. But then we have the other false gospel that says, yeah, but you know what? That's just the way I am. Jesus likes me, you know, Billy Joe, I love you just the way you are. I love you just the way. And he does love me just the way I am, but he doesn't love the way I am. He loved us when we were dead in our sins, but he didn't love the way we lived. And to believe that God says you're doomed to that forever is a lie. Is a lie. It's not true. That's not the gospel. When you embrace Christ, you're going to have a different worldview. But having a different worldview does not transform you. It is a result of the transformation. You'll have a different philosophy. It'll affect your philosophy. It'll affect your worldview. It will affect a code of ethics. It will come as a result of what God is doing in your life. Those are our result. But adopting them is not transformation. It's still painting and makeup and trying to do these things because it's us doing it in our own strength. The same way we could not save ourselves, we can't change ourselves. How many try changing yourself? Good luck, right? Good luck. You had your good days and then your days where you stink. It's all what a mess. I know. I've done it. You smell up the whole place. The fake gospel says we're still the same as always, and we will always be that way. Not true. I heard a girl, I got an email from someone, which I can tell reading it, yeah, that was a fake gospel. I'm so glad that she's learning now, person's learning now what the true gospel is. What an email to me, it's been experiencing a cleansing of God, just a God cleansing and empowering. And so I've been going through the season, and God, the Holy Spirit has been really working in me and changing me of things and cleansing me of things that I always had accepted as quote unquote just me. Just me. That's just the way I am. Hey. That's a philosophy that's crept into the church. Hey, you don't have to, you need to change. God loves you. God loves you. Yes, He does love me. Yes, He does love me. But because He loves me, look at this, Psalm 40. I don't have it up there, but Psalm 40 verse 1 says, the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. When people see the transformation in our lives, I've been talking on Tuesday night prayer service. I speak over at Manhasset at our Tuesday night prayer service. And lately, we've been on this theme of revival and awakening. Because an awakening involves people coming to faith. I want to see a great harvest of souls come into the kingdom of God and come to Jesus. How many say amen? Right? But I also realize awakening starts here. He's not going to send them to a bunch of zombies or a bunch of makeup artists. Do you know what the psalmist said there? Many will see what? See what God did in my life. And they will trust in the Lord. Now notice what happened there. Picture this. Slimy in the mud and the mire. How loving is God? He said, He took me out, which means he got dirty. To get someone out of the mud, you got to go into the mud. You got to roll up your sleeves and get in there. And his hands were dirty. And God said, I love you. Just like one of us would do, we would get dirty for our kids. How many say amen? We get dirty for them. He got dirty, and he took us out of the mud, put us on solid ground. So now we weren't sinking anymore, praise God. Because we were sinking. I can't get out. I'm thrashing around, and then, you just can't get out of it. And God took us out. Oh, and this salvation, oh, forgive God, you took me out. But I kind of envisioned this, took it out. But now I'm standing there. If I've been rolling around in the mud, what do I look like still? I got mud all over me. So praise God, my feet are on a rock. I'm not sinking anymore. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to be with God one day. But I got mud. I got mud on me still. You think God's going to leave you like that? It doesn't leave you like that. The gospel is the power of God for salvation, not just to forgive you, but to transform you. So he says, like a loving, let me clean, my goodness, if my kid, let me clean you up. If I see them more dirty, don't you think I'm going to clean them up? Give me your clothes. Give me those clothes. I'm going to put them in the laundry. I'll give them to my wife to put in the laundry. Although I've learned how to do laundry because I'm a good husband. I have to learn how to do. We'll get those things cleaned up. In fact, my wife is going to be this afternoon, so I won't say it this afternoon when she's here. Because they came to the house, she said, my wife would be like this. No, you ain't coming to this house yet. Wait. Give me the clothes first. She'll clean them all because she ain't going to come all the mud trudging in. Oh, get the hose on her. We're going to do a lot of cleaning. And bottom line, we're doing a lot of cleaning because my wife is very clean and very tremendous at that. But bottom line is we're going to clean them up. We're going to clean up our kids because we love them. We don't want them looking like mud and full of mud because of the way they lived before. You think God wants us like that? You think God would leave us full of mud and junk in our lives? No. He transforms us. He's not a makeup artist. Makeup is on the outside. God changes us from the inside. Inside. You begin to change. The gospel is the power of God to change how we think, how we feel, what our values are. He transforms us from the inside out. How does he do that? We'll talk about it in a minute, but that's the power of God. And he wants to change you and me. It's an ongoing process, but it's a real process. We got to know we're changing. But I love what he said there. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He was crying out. He was crying out, God, I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to be like this anymore. Have you cried like that? I've cried like that to God. I've cried, and God answers. I got a background. I got a history. I got junk. I got mud that I came out of. Oh, yeah. I got lots of junk. Good to have a mud throwing contest over here. See who's got more mud. I got lots of mud. Called on him. Cried out to God. Let me give you one example. I'm going to give you one personal example. I think I've shared a little bit about here once, but I got so much mud. You know, I used to be a Jehovah's Witness. I would tear Christians apart on a daily basis. I would chew them up. And I don't say that to boast. That's we trained in doing that. I'd be in Wall Street back in the 70s. I was 3 years old. But late 70s. But I would boom, boom, but God saw me there. He knew in my heart I really wanted him. While I was dead, he called me out of there and delivered me out of that slimy pit. But my life, you know, then I came to Christ. But somewhere in there, I still didn't have the full gospel because I was still bound by a lot of things. But I found as I cried out to God, God helped me and delivered me from so many things. As I cried out to him, he bring me to the place, time to deal with this. God, deliver me from this. Help me with this, God. And God would change me. And God would transform me. One of the things that bound me for years, this is just me. In fact, on Facebook, I'm not a big Facebook person. I got like 3 friends or related to me. My niece put a picture up there of my father. I had a terrible relationship with my father. He left when I was 5 years old. I was the youngest of 6. Had an affair with a woman. I didn't know him. He didn't know any better. I had learned to forgive him, but for years I did not. I had a lot of hatred in me. But one of the things I was terrified of is youngest of 6, 3 boys, 3 girls. My siblings followed my dad's pattern, I guess, the lack of control. Each brother of mine married 5 times. My sister's similar. So I was terrified of marriage. And I had heard psychology. That's another fake gospel. We worship like the God of psychology. No, psychology is not a God. It can tell you some things, and there's truth there. But God's truth trumps man's truth. How many say amen? I don't care what, and science is, I love it, science, but God's truth trumps everything. If you listen to him, he trumps it all. So they had said to me, listen, because I was a manager in a bank, I said, you want to know how your employees are going to be? You want to be able to deal with your employees? Study their background, study their history. True, because how their parents were, those genes are in them. So however their parents were, they're going to be just like them. That's inevitable. They're going to be just like their parents were, which was a very depressing thought for me. Right? I'm like, I'm doomed, which I had embraced that. But then he said something, unless something cataclysmic happens to change, to jar the pattern, to which I said, little bulb went up, ding, oh, Jesus. So I was terrified. I knew my wife for years. We had been engaged as Jehovah's Witnesses. And then when I left Jehovah's Witnesses, we got separated. But now I'm a Christian for years. And I would not make the move. Everybody I was in Brooklyn Tabernacle with thousands of people. Everybody saw it. Everybody knew you belong with this woman. Everybody saw it except, ever had that happen? Everybody sees it but you. They're like, what's wrong with this guy? What was wrong with me? Fear. And then I'm praying, God, help me. Help. And I came across the verse in 1 John where it says, anyone who is born of God, does not practice sin because the seed of God is in them. Because the seed, so this is a new beginning. May the Holy Spirit make this real to you and to me today again. If you are born of God, you're not what you used to be. You are born of God. His seed is in you. You can be what God says you are. You are a new creation. You are a child. We sing about it. Don't just sing about it. Believe it. Believe it. Embrace it. And if it's not real to you, like the psalmist said, he cried out to God. And I cried out to God. God, help me. And God helped me. God helped me. It was like when I saw it and I embraced it. I had just gone to a wedding and I had visited. And my wife now went with me. We were friends. That was the last time we were friends. 2 months later, we were married. June 2nd, we celebrated 34 years. 34 years for the glory of God. And I thank God for it. I thank God for it. God transforms us. Paul's theme is always like that. What does it look like in the gospel? In the word of God, Paul says this, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. This was the verse from last week. I can do all things. I have learned in being with Jesus, being with God, that I can do all things through him who gives me strength. God strengthens me. God empowers me to be different. Here's a list that he gave before and after to the Corinthians. He says, do you not know, 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. The church was full of people who were transformed. But you were washed. You were sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's what the church is full of. Transformed lives. So when people see it, they want to trust in the Lord themselves. Oh, I talked to someone the other day in a lifestyle that they want to change their lifestyle, but they don't know how. They want to change. They know it's wrong. They want to see a transformation, but they don't know. They don't know, but they're coming. They're coming to a prayer meeting. And I just touched base with them, and I'm going to talk to them again because I'm going to be able to tell them because I was reminded because I forgot. How many people, I started seeing some Facebook things again. Oh, I have a list of people who were just like you that I know God delivered them from that, and now they're transformed. Transformed. God can change you because I've seen it. I've seen it over and over and over again. Men, women, I've seen it. You would never, and if you saw them now, like you would be looking at the after picture and you would never dream what the before picture was like. That's what God does for us. He changes us. He doesn't just forget about the past. He changes the future for us. He doesn't leave us living like that. Things that mark us. New creations. We have a new beginning. We have a new life. We have new works. Because of God's work in us, he gives us new works to perform. not living to indulge myself. I'm not on the throne anymore. I'm worshiping God and living for Him. I'm living like Jesus, my head. I live for Him. I love Him. I serve Him. I'm led by Him. I'm surrendered to Him. I enjoy fellowship with Him. I obey Him. I spend time with Him. I travel with Him. I commute with Him. I play with Him. I eat with Him. I drink with Him. I sleep alongside Him. I watch TV with Him. When I know He's there, it tempers everything that I do. How many say amen? Amen. Conclusion. The musicians will come real quick here. So what's Paul's answer to all of this? In the next chapter of Ephesians, after the second chapter there, next chapter, he says this. This is one of my favorite verses. And I was reading Charles Spurgeon. Anybody would ever hear Charles Spurgeon? Prince of Preachers. I'm listening and watch a lot of his sermons, just totally inspiring me and encouraging me. Paul says this, I pray. It's prayer. Folks, it's prayer. If you're not praying, which means you're showing, when you pray, what you're basically saying, I need you, God. When you pray, at the essence of it is saying, God, I need you. That's why you pray. When you don't pray, it's because you don't think you need Him. And sometimes you don't need Him because the life we're living doesn't need God. Let me be frank with you, apart from my name. Yeah, truthfully. When I'm not praying, that's happened to me. It's happened to me. When I don't feel like I need to pray, it's because I don't need to pray. Because what I'm doing doesn't need God to do it. But God didn't call us to that. God called us to live a life where we need Him, but it's a powerful life. It's a powerful life. So Paul says, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power. Here's that word, power, through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to, not your effort, not your will, not your makeup, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen, he says. How many say amen? Amen. So this is what Spurgeon called this. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 2, the transformation, the before and after is there. You see, before Pentecost and after Pentecost. Before Pentecost, the apostles, disciples were all hiding behind closed doors. After Pentecost, they're out there bold, full of God, proclaiming, prophesying, telling people about Jesus. They didn't care about anything. They were just full of God. Pentecost. Charles Spurgeon calls this portion our personal Pentecost. And I love this. Oh, this is my personal Pentecost. It was prayer. God, fill me with power by your Spirit in the inner man. Fill me, God. Later on, he says in the same book, be filled with the Spirit of God. It's God. This is not some, you know, denominational thing. Don't do that. Don't let the devil rob you because you've seen some fanaticism somewhere. Don't listen, that's a trick of the devil. It's a trick. It's going to keep you from embracing all that God has. Oh, look what those people are doing over there. Who cares what they're doing? Let them stand. It's none of my business what they're doing. My business is what the Bible says here. And if he's telling me to do this, I'm saying, no, then forget about anyone else. It's me and you, Jesus. You just told me here that I should be filled with power by your Spirit. So that's my prayer. God, fill me with power by your Spirit. So I said it earlier. I've been in times when I'm cold. Not that long ago, I had some cold times that God, deliver me from this cold heart. Deliver me from this shallowness, God. Deliver me from temper tantrum. Deliver me from, and God does it. He empowers you by his spirit. So no one needs to be enslaved. Nobody, nobody. Get along with God. Just get along with God today, tonight. Get along with him, just you and him. Ask him to fill you. Maybe for the first time. Or a renewal. Spurgeon, I was reading Spurgeon on Ephesians chapter 19. He says, on Acts chapter 19, talking to the Ephesians. And when he asked them, have you received the Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And his tense was, not only have you received them initially, but are you constantly receiving the Holy Spirit? Are you constantly receiving the Holy Spirit since you believed? We can't live without the Holy Spirit. Oh, don't let anyone steal that from you. Don't let anyone. So get along with God. Get along with God. I love that I can say that. I love that I can say that. Just get along with God. You don't have to follow and listen to me. Go ask God, hey, that guy, that little Puerto Rican guy who was up there talking, what he said, was it true? Is it true? Ask him. Ask him. When I was Jehovah's Witness, I can hold up in one hand how many people actually said something to me that was meaningful. And one guy gave me his testimony. What Jesus did for him, and he told me, go ask God about what I just said. That night I was talking to Jehovah, Jehovah, what was that about? And God began to speak to me and show me. God will speak to you. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are who we need more than anything else. We need you, God. We need you, Lord. We need you. So God, I'm praying that you would take what we've said here. God, I pray that it would have excited something inside every one of us to aspire to you, to more of you. That, God, if we have been lethargic, if we have accepted a mediocre gospel, Lord, a watered down version that says you don't change people, you just forgive them and then wind them up and say, good, do your best. You don't want us to do our best. You want us to do your best. And you want us to have your best, God. So let it be so for us, God. Let it be so for us today, Lord. Work in us, God, I pray. Work in us, God, I pray. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. What we're going to do right now is get ready for our offering. If you close your church, your church, isn't God good? I feel his love in here today. I feel his love. Can we just worship God for a minute? Come on, let's lift our hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just lift your hands to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place, and we pray for your work to happen in our lives. We thank you for saving us, not only from sin, but there's more you want to do in our lives, God, every day, and thank you for it. Thank you for it, Lord. Just seal it now by your Holy Spirit in all our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.